Hello, everyone. So this episode of Son of a Binge is going to be a special binge because I binged a podcast. We have Jake Johnson here to talk all about his new podcast that he started a few months ago with Gareth Reynolds, and it's called We're Here to Help, and they give out all types of advice, good, bad, questionable. We also take a little walk down memory lane and talk New Girl. And Jake also stars on Minx with Ophelia Lovibond, where he plays sort of a questionable character. So let's bring Jake on and get into it.
All right.
So Jake, congratulations on your podcast. We're Here to Help. You started this just like a couple months ago, you and Gareth, and you're already number two on Apple Podcasts. Is that true?
Yeah, you know, it goes up and down, but we've been getting pretty good numbers. Yeah, we started August 22nd was when we put the first one out.
Wow. It's not even been a few months yet. Who's right above you? Is Joe Rogan the one you have to like get out of the number one spot?
I mean, some of the big heavy hitters keep beating us, you know, the Smartless, the Rogans, but yeah. You know, where we're kind of at, which has been really exciting for us, is we were thinking that kind of we were going to view the first 6 months as just trying to build and figure out if there was an audience.
Yeah.
And then the audience came pretty fast.
It came really fast. And
so
tell everyone what
nice.
Your tagline is. What's your tagline for We're Here to Help?
Free advice that feels free.
And there has never been a truer statement.
You know, the game of it for us, and this idea came from my friend Gareth Reynolds.
Yeah.
Who's, you know, a 20-year friend. And the idea of it was, and when you and I met, we hung out in a bar.
Yeah.
And we talked, and we were talking about exercise classes, and you were talking about boxing, and I was talking about jiu-jitsu and what to do.
Yeah. But
what Gareth and I have been for each other, and we have other people in our life like that, and that is somebody you can go to who is on your team,
yeah,
who's not viewing the advice in any other way besides, will help me get out of this. You know, I do a thing with my wife a lot where sometimes she'll say a problem and she's like, I'm not looking for an answer. I'm just looking to tell you what's going on with me.
To get it off her chest,
just to get it off my chest. When I tell anybody a problem, I'm looking for an answer.
Okay. So which is the difference between men and women sometimes.
It is. Yeah. Yes. But it's like, I am looking. And when I go to peers about something, if I say like, hey, this is going on, it's tricky, I'm not looking for them to go like, that's really hard for you. I'm looking for them to go, here's what you can do. And I go, that's dog shit advice. Pass. But in here in three passes, I might come up with my answer. And so the fun for us is, what if we were that and we were the friend to every caller? So if you call in the show, even if you're wrong, we're with you.
Yeah.
Like a woman and her husband had the vasectomy episode.
Yeah.
I just remember that one as a guy when she was saying, so the story is they made a deal to each, you know, get, you know, snipped, what have you. And she did, but he hasn't yet. And she wants him to, yeah. And wants to, for him to do it, but she already has.
Yeah.
But the premise of the show is we're on her team.
Yeah.
So our game is how do we help you get him to get sniffed?
What if he calls in? What if he were, he did. Okay.
He did after. We just talked to him. He followed up because a lot of people in their life have been contacting him. And so he just called in and said like, okay, now you're on my team. So I don't want to reveal what happened because we haven't released it.
Yeah. I'm excited to see
it's that. It's a lot of fun. Yeah. The follow-ups and the serialization of the callers has turned out to be a part of the show that I've loved more than I expected.
Yeah. I actually think the interaction and bringing live people on is the best part of the show.
But I agree with you.
Like somewhat questionable advice at times. I feel like you and I align with advice a lot of the time. Gareth sometimes says things that are so.
He's a maniac.
Zoe and Lamorne both came on the podcast, and I'm sure you're going to have some other friends who you've worked with.
Damon came on. We've already recorded with Max Greenfield. I'm saving his. And just because I want to just wait a little bit until I release the Max one. Catherine Reitman, a friend, came on. Jim Jeffries has come on. So yeah, we're going to just keep having kind of friends and people we've worked with and all that.
I love that. So looking back, you guys all used to work at the same office. Who in that group was the best at advice and who was the worst?
The New Girl group?
Yeah.
In terms of business, Zoe was always the smartest.
Yeah.
In terms of how to do television network acting, mm-hmm. Max Greenfield was the one who helped me the most.
Helped you the most. Okay. So what, when you said, Zoe, like what's a piece of advice that Zoe gave you that was like very helpful that you can thinking back on?
You know, I don't have anything that jumps out because it was 7 years together, but you know, when we first started that show, she and I both realized that the Nick and Jess storyline was really important to the show. Yeah. And we used to call after work, you know, all of us have been kind of friends right from the beginning.
Yeah.
So Zoe and I would finish a day of work and we would, you know, talk as we were driving home. And a lot of those conversations were talking about what have other TV couples that we liked, what were they doing? We talked about Jim and Pam. We talked about Sam and Diane. We talked about like, what's fun about that stuff.
Yeah.
But she had more of an expertise in that she had been in the business and I did feel way newer.
Yeah.
So I was kind of running around early on in that show, like a chicken with my head cut off.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, a lot. And then Lamorne and I, you know, all of us, we're still buds. Like we took a hike the other day. We're still kind of picking each other's brains, all that stuff.
I love it. I love it. Getting back to the couples thing, what did Zoe think or you think of like Ross and Rachel? Were they in your zeitgeist or?
I don't remember. It might've been more her. Friends wasn't a show that I'd watched.
Okay. Okay.
So I don't know the references to that as well. I mean, I know all the characters.
Yeah.
You know, I don't live under a rock.
Yeah, New Girl was a real kind of spin-off of Friends in some ways, like that whole like group. So when I finished New Girl finally, because I once told Jake that I still haven't finished it because I want it to last forever. I feel like you should watch Friends at some point and give me your lowdown.
Yeah.
Okay, so Lamorne came on the show and gave some wild advice on, and I have to say he came on my favorite episode so far.
With good.
Cat sitter and the pet cam. That's all.
Oh, I thought you meant on your show and gave like, what is that wild man doing?
No. In the future, I'll have them together. I think what I loved about that episode is how terrible his advice was.
Agreed.
So out of that group, who gives Zoe, Lamorne, Max, Hannah, who gives the best advice? Who gives the worst advice? And if you could remember something, that always helps.
Yeah. I mean, I can't remember specific things of advice anybody gave. It was years ago. And we've just hung out too many times.
Exactly.
I honestly don't know.
All right. So here's what I want to ask you. Who would you and Gareth love to call into the podcast with a problem? Like, I know you have friends who are coming on and helping you give advice, but is there like a certain person that you're like, we would love if they called in? Let's say Barack Obama.
No, so I'm not interested in celebrities calling in.
Okay.
I love that it's regular people. I think regular people are so fascinating and so funny, and their stories I'm really interested in. And in terms of the podcast space, I'm personally less interested in celebrities talking to other celebrities or known figures talking to known figures and hearing their backstories and hearing all that. I think there's a lot of people who do that really well.
Yeah.
And that feels very covered to me. But for me, the big passion is I love when I start doing the podcast with Gareth and a random person pops on our Zoom and we start hearing their story to catching up to where they live, figuring out their backstory, figuring out their life, and then figuring out their issue.
Yeah.
That's for me what, you know, we're not doing this under some like big corporate banner. We don't have a minimum guaranteed. We're not being paid. We have sponsors who come in who are, we're using that money to pay for video and other things. We're building it as just like a fun kind of project.
Yeah.
But the part of it, why I want to be in my closet recording this is I like talking to strangers.
Yeah. You're very good at it. I have to say, like you make them feel heard. And I think that's one of the best things your podcast does.
I know Gareth. Love it.
Yeah. Gareth was saying like, you guys are responsible for mankind becoming better. I wouldn't go that far, but it definitely gives me joy.
That's amazing. Well, it started, you know, I was talking to Dax about this on his podcast.
Yeah.
And he kind of nailed it. It was before ours was released, but he said like, he's like, let me guess, do you love a Q&A post screening? And I fucking do. But I don't like a Q&A when it's planned questions from a moderator.
Yeah.
I'm not interested in doing a Charlie Rose type thing in front of an audience.
Yeah.
But when somebody stands up from the crowd and, you know, if it's at a college and they're a 20-year-old girl and they're nervous and they seem really shy and my anxiety is going like, I wonder what she's going to say. And then she busts out with something wild and the whole group laughs, myself included. I'm like, man, that is fun. You know,
that's a good Q&A.
But I started my career doing live theater and I did live shows for years. I always had different groups and we would travel the country and we would hand out flyers and, you know, any, we would find anybody who would come see the show. And when you're in that shared space and something happens that's unplanned, that's for me where it gets so exciting. And each caller for me, you don't know where it's going. And sometimes they'll say certain things that Gareth and I will text about that night and go like, didn't see that coming. And that to me is what makes this worth doing.
I mean, that's the gold about this, because I like, when I was listening to the cat sitting pet one, I was like, I've told so many people at parties this, and like right before I have to say like the crux of it, I get really embarrassed. I was like, so this girl.
But the beauty of that one, and I don't know, I can't remember all the stuff that was put in. We kept some stuff, you know, private because she asked, but you know, she's a therapist and has like a very real, and as she broke down, there was parts of her personal life that she told us that we edited out. In hearing it, we had a glimpse of her. And in terms of being a human, so I make judgments, I had such the wrong read.
Never
would I have put the woman who I met as a woman watching control-based pornography, masturbating. I'm like, never.
Wait, so, are we allowed to put that in this interview?
Yes. Well, I didn't reveal anything secret about her, but like she, there was stuff that, you know, would have gotten back to her as we were doing that. Cause I really liked the backstory.
So
a lot of the backstory we lift and edit that out, but I really like to hear it as we're going because it becomes fascinating. In her group of friends, who she was, I'm like, no, she's like really cool. She's like a certain role, but it's not the one you would imagine doing blank.
Not at all.
That's what makes it for me so
fun. She was super like repressed about things.
Or at least outwardly.
And then she like just, when there's just a cat there.
She's a wild human. And you, you know, like,
my favorite part is how much you have to not have, try not to laugh in these.
Totally. It's fun. Honestly, we have so many calls banked. Because I really enjoy doing the calls. And, you know, the reason we do two a week as opposed to one a week, we don't have anybody, there's no mandate. The reason we do two a week is I want to do more of them. I know what's going to happen, or I hope what's going to happen is that there's going to be some show or some job that I start doing that it's going to take a lot of time. But I'm like, I don't want this to go away. So I want to just like keep going so that I can be in the trailer there doing this. I'm like, it's really a joy.
Yeah, I love it. In every family and circle of friends, there's someone who's really good at advice and someone who's like really bad at it. And you go to those family members for certain things. So I just wanted to talk about, like, in your family, your direct family, who would you say is the best at advice? Whose advice would you say is less best?
My mother is always, she's like a weird kind of witch doctor in a way. She is an outside the box thinker. She's a very unique human. She does not socialize a lot. She's by herself a lot. She's an artist, and her house has like her stained glass studio in the basement, her jewelry shop in one of the other rooms. She's always doing, you know, construction that she's doing herself. So walls are down, wallpapers down, floors are ripped up. She was into health foods, you know, in way before anybody else was. So she makes like weird potions. She creates, like, a buddy of mine had some like weird rash on his foot and no one could help him. She just created some weird lotion. And he's like, I don't know how to explain it. My buddy, Eric Edelstein, the actor, he's like, I don't know how to explain it, buddy, but it fixed my foot. So my mom is somebody that if you give her the whole picture, will give advice that you'll go like, I don't know how you got to the center of it, but it's true. She'll do things with like things in my life. I'll go like, well, what do you think that's going to happen? And she'll give you like her vision of a 10-year plan.
Oh my God.
And a lot of it's pretty accurate.
Yeah, that is amazing. Wait, so she actually is a witch doctor. She's making like potions.
She's making health food potions. But it's the kind of stuff that, you know, when I was a kid, there would be, she'd make these like smoothies we'd have to drink, and they would literally be like eggshells in it. One of them had like sticks in it, where you're like, what is this madness? And then as I've gotten older and deeper into the LA culture, they'll be like some health guru who's like, yeah, it's the eggshell. I'm like, my mother was doing this in 85 and I called her a maniac for it. Now, it's like,
still my future.
I'm you glad, cool hunks are doing it in man buns.
I'm glad you like specified what kind of lotion, because all I was thinking is a basement lotion, put the lotion in the basket.
Yeah, totally. Like, it's a grim scene. It's a grim scene.
It is. So in terms of like with you and your wife and your kids, like what kind of, you know, what's the best advice you'd say your partner has given you and you've given your partner? And you don't have to think of something specific, but like, you know, in terms of, I liked what you said, like she doesn't always want you to give her a solution.
I think for my wife and I, our main connective tissue in terms of advice is we see the home the same way.
We're
very different people, and we see life differently a lot of the way, but we do see the idea of home the same. And so the advice that we always give each other is the base kind of how we both want it to be.
Yeah.
And if it tips one way or the other, we kind of know without talking about it what we think the feeling for the kids is supposed to be and how, like,
okay,
this thing should feel. If that makes any sense.
So, you know, for everyone who doesn't know, you're a dad of twin girls. What is like a piece of advice you can give other parents of twins that you've learned in, how old are they now?
They're going to be 10 in about a month.
Wow. That's crazy. I think
the only advice I would give, and I've heard it from people before, but it goes fast.
Yeah.
And try to enjoy it as much as you can, especially with twins at the beginning. It's so brutal the first like 2.5 years because the kids are, they're just babies. They don't care that they're twins. They have all their needs.
Yeah.
And then what happens is when they hit a certain age, it gets so much easier because they have each other too.
Yeah.
So my only kind of thing, like, man, and I thought about it a lot going in. There was a lot of like older people, like the Lettermans and all these people I had looked up to who said like, if I could do it again, I would have not taken that job and stayed home. So I've done that.
Okay.
There's gigs I've passed on. I don't, you know, I stay local. Mm-hmm. One of the things I look for in a job is where it shoots. In terms of being a lead or number two, well, lead works more days. And so even in doing that, I'm still like, God damn, it's going so fast. And I'm afraid I'm going to blink my eyes and they're going to be in college. And I'm going to go like, man, let me give one more run of this.
Yeah.
So my only advice is the same advice I think anybody who has kids has.
Mm-hmm.
And that is like, hold on tight because it goes fast.
It goes fast. I remember my grandmother and grandfather helped raise my brother and me. And I remember I was like 10 years old at the stove with her. And I was upset, like the other older kids could go do something. I was like, I wish I could be older. And now I give anything for her to be alive.
And
she told me it goes fast. You're gonna believe it. And I was like, and now we're like 33.
Yeah.
I'm just like, where did that time go? Okay, so very quickly, let's talk about fake Jake. Can you tell everyone about the drama? I'm seeing it in your story. There is unnamed man.
Well, the fake Jake story is I was on social media and we've been doing something where when people are reposting it, we're trying to kind of reach out and thank them for it because we've really seen how that does help.
Yeah.
And so I've been interacting more with people in a fun way. And one woman who had posted something, I said, thanks. She all then wrote, it was really nice meeting you too in Edinburgh. And I said, got bad news for you, friend. We didn't meet. And she goes, yes, we did. We were talking about the Rain Dance Festival. And I go, I don't even know what that is. And then she goes, oh, and then sent a photo of a man who kind of looks like me and her taking a selfie. And I go, that's not me. And she goes like, oh, that's so disappointing. You were so nice and you gave such good advice.
Oh my God.
And so I laughed and, you know, I then reached out to her and said like, just to be clear, did this guy or any of his friends, were they shady? Like, were they like trying to sleep with you? Were they trying to get money? And she said the opposite. It was a group of older men who were really nice, who bought all of us drinks and were really interested in our lives. And one of them is going to get me a job at this festival because I'm interested in, you know, public events or whatever. And so I thought, like, nothing dark or shady. And she was like, honestly, the opposite. We had a lovely night. We're just all sad because we thought that was you.
Oh, so but there's a good fake Jake out there.
Well, then I reached out. I got connected to one of the guys there and I reached out to him and I said, I need fake Jake's info. And so I got it. And we then interviewed her and all the guys about the night. And then we had fake Jake on the podcast.
Oh my gosh. You got the number for your dog.
We found him. Yeah. And we found him. He came on. He's a super sweet guy.
So I have a question. Are you guys going to star in a Twins remake? The two of you somehow?
I think that's up to some big studio.
Okay. I'll direct it. I'm just going to put it out there. You know,
let's see the script.
Who is your dream guest to have on the podcast to dole out advice? I know you have banked a lot, but yeah. You know, if you're thinking kind of sort of pie in the sky, like, is there anyone that who you'd be like, I want to know what kind of advice they'd give out?
No, I'm less, I don't have one. I was really happy when I reached out, honestly, to the New Girl cast. And before I started, I said, like, will you guys all kind of support me on this? Are you in?
Yeah.
And everybody wrote back, right? I asked Zoe first. I said, like, hey, I'm thinking of doing this podcast. Would you come in? And she literally wrote back anytime, as many times as you want. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Lamar did the same. Max came on. Damon came on. Hannah's going to come on.
Oh,
and I thought like, that was really sweet.
Yeah.
And then like other random people I've kind of reached out to, there's just been a real kind of warmth about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think about it. This isn't kind of the one where it's not host driven. So
it's the people, it's their problems.
So
that,
like,
yeah.
You know, I don't
I
have
thought
the,
of
like,
a few problems I could bring to the show.
Amazing.
And I was like, oh, I should like to figure that out.
But what I want more than, you know, who could guest on it, what I'd love to have happen on the podcast is somebody has a problem and or a mystery that takes us multiple episodes to figure out, and that we as the hosts, which, because we have access, like I was able to get to fake Jake and I used social media. I was like, guys, repost this. And people did help me find him.
It could be like Only Murders in the Building meets Serial.
Yeah, but like that kind of stuff I'm interested in.
Yeah.
So I want people who have things in their life. Like I want a We're Here to Help wedding.
Yes.
You know, I want like all the gamemanship and the serialization of people's lives.
Yeah.
I'd like to filter some of that through the show. Because I'm interested. I want to be part of it.
I just got panicked that someone's going to kidnap fake Jake. And that's what this is going to like evolve to. But it would make for some great podcasting. Okay, just to wrap, you once had mentioned to me that you and Tom Cruise had worked on a film together, a project together. I just was wondering, you know, from him, did you get any advice from him that you found helpful in your life?
Yeah, he really takes care of his body in a way that I now have like a gym in my garage and I'll copy old workouts. And since him, I've always kind of done more exercise because he views his body as like a vehicle that you have to take care of.
Yeah.
And one time we were working out and it was really tiring. And in my head, we were in London. I was thinking about the pub near where we lived there. And I was thinking like, man, after work, I think my wife and I are going to go to that pub. And I was like, I'm going to get an apple cider and some chips.
Yeah.
And as I was working out, I was just thinking about that. And I turned to him and I said, like, hey, man, like, you got anything in the back of your head you're excited about? And he was like, well, yeah, you know, work and friend. And I was like, no, I mean, like, you're going to go home and eat like a ice cream sundae or something. And he goes like, no. And I told him my fantasy of the pub. And he laughed and he's like, I hope you enjoy it. And I go like, do you ever do that, Tom?
Yeah.
And he said, no. And I go, why not? And he goes, I think of myself as a Ferrari and why would I ever put cheap gas in it?
Ooh.
And I thought like, that's such a great way to view your body. And I don't, I throw the cheapest gas in at times, but I'm like, oh, I really liked that. And the other thing I took from him is, he loves entertaining audiences.
Yeah.
More than anything. And the, you know, going back to the podcast and why this is getting exciting for me and what I'm trying to do more is that's more than I want to do than anything else.
Yeah.
There's like the cool LA, there's the cool studios, there's the prestige projects, there's the cool inner circle that you want like them to like you.
Yeah.
And you want to like do cool stuff and have everybody think it's cool in LA, but people don't watch it.
Yeah.
And then you want like critics to think you're cool and do like a cool interview where you're edgy, but cool. And they have like a cool black and white photo at the chateau. And all of this is like this weird fantasy that was created that has nothing to do with entertaining audiences.
Yeah.
And it's neat and it's exciting. But Tom's idea was just like, even apart from box office, he just wants to reach people and entertain them and make them excited to watch a movie. And that's really stuck with me. And yeah. I think about it a lot. And with each project I do, I'm getting more and more into, I just want to entertain people and make them happy and have them go, I'm glad I gave that fucking weirdo 30 minutes of my time, because that was, it helped my commute. And I'm like, that's what this game is.
Yes. Yes. Wait, I have a question. So he compared his body to a Ferrari. What would you say in that moment? First of all, what workout were you doing? Were you like running on a treadmill? Were these intense workouts?
Yeah, it's all kind of CrossFit based. He would always have like a trainer. So it's, you know, it's high intensity. So it'll be like, whatever, you know, you do 30 minutes of weights, cardio, everything together in like a little AMRAP or a little circuit.
Yeah. Could you keep up with him?
No. He's on another level.
Yeah. Yeah. So, what kind of car would you compare yourself to? I'm probably like maybe a Toyota Camry.
Yeah. I think for me, unfortunately, I'm probably like an 89 Oldsmobile that I know how to fix it up. So like, I know how this engine works, but to get it going, there's like a screwdriver in the ignition. There's like a boombox on the passenger seat is my radio, but I got about 200,000 miles on this thing and I'm expecting more.
Jake and I have joint pain.
Yeah. You put like, for me, if there's like oil issues, you just put like brown sugar there, but somehow it's working.
That's amazing. So just to wrap, what has been kind of your favorite person to talk to? I know it's very hard. I know you've enjoyed all of them, but is there one story that stands out? Like for me, of course, like I said, the cat,
she was incredible. Honestly, for me, I don't know, because there's so many of them.
Yeah.
They all kind of blur together. We found early on, because we did a bunch that we haven't released that were heavier and were more about people who had like real issues.
Yeah.
Because when it started, we had no idea what the show was. So we just sent out a thing on Instagram and asked for, you know, emails, and people started to email. And we did a lot that were, you know, more serious based.
Yeah.
And we realized in doing that, like, that's not our show. And it feels rude to do a joke here.
Yeah.
And then if Gareth would give like, you know, Gareth mostly leads out with some pretty bad advice.
Oh.
And that's what seems to get us started. And when he would do that on a call that would feel wrong.
Yeah.
We would both be like, We're just joking around. And so once for me, I don't remember what was the first one that, I know what it was. It was the one, our pilot. When we did the Dungeons and Dragons one with the woman who was Wilhelmina.
That was so good.
That was, I think, one of the first ones we recorded. We were probably like 10 to 12 calls deep. And when we did that and we realized she really wants nerd clout and she wants to win this game and be cooler in this community. We finished and Gareth and I were like laughing so hard and talking about it. And we thought like, that's where we want to live.
I know. It's just, and right in that you guys pocket. Are good at. So
yeah, right in that pocket. We want to eventually go to Indianapolis and film a remote where we're at the game. Like, let's go right in that zone.
That would be amazing. I just wonder if that woman's friends did watch the pet cam footage. What do you think?
Gareth is a no, they didn't. I'm not convinced. I think they might have. I think that if you have that set up, you see it. And I didn't want to make her feel terrible.
Yeah.
But that's why my advice was leaning more like you should do a soft follow-up. And we've texted with her a few times or emailed with her and got more follow-up, but it's all still vague. And I think for sure her group of friends, a small circle of them, know her as the woman who masturbates when she house sits like an animal. And I think it's just going to be part of her world. And it happened.
I know. My favorite part was like when she was like, I threw the pet cam out the window and then I contemplated following it. And I never felt something truer than that.
She's so funny.
So Jake, this podcast is great. You really get people to open up in such a funny way and dole out some terrible mediocre good advice sometimes. Perfect. And it's amazing. I think you're doing great with that. All right, dude. Okay. Thank you so much. Awesome. I'll talk to you later. Bye.
Thank you.